This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 425 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the Franklin Matters Q&A session held by the Senior Center on Thursday, December 17, 2020. The session was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. As I mentioned during the intro, there was no formal presentation for these sessions. I have at least a couple of things in mind that have changed since the prior meeting to review if folks are interested. We start with your questions, answer those, fill in appropriate background info and connections to other topics where applicable. The town council and Rep. Jeff Roy had their coffee hour that morning. One of the questions to open with was around the Community Preservation Committee legislation that was just approved by the council at their meeting the prior Wednesday night, 12/16/20. We also talk about the recent spearfishing incident, the forthcoming stormwater utility fee, and the tax rate hearing, before getting into other minor items and getting into the schedule for the next session coming up January 17th at 1 p.m. The recording runs just about an hour, so let's listen in. And thank you all for joining. As I think you're aware, I do the Franklin Matters digital news. It's an email newsletter, it's a website, a Facebook post, a Twitter thread, audio. We do interviews and meetings that's on Franklin Radio. And in this type of a session, I really don't have a presentation per se. You're here, you've got some questions, you've got some interests. I have at least two or three bullet points that if you hadn't heard, I'll make you aware of those. But I'm here to answer your questions.
At the Jeff Roy's meeting this morning, you had a lengthy discussion, and there was a term that I had not heard before regarding a new group that was coming together that would be able to meld the various departments. And apparently it came up at the town council meeting. What is that?
So that was if you voted in November at the major election. There were three ballot questions. Two were statewide. The third one was for the Community Preservation Act.
That was the term I was looking for.
Okay. Correct. So Community Preservation Act we passed, and then now that authorizes the town to increase our taxes just a little bit.
Okay.
And the funds, I think as they referenced, they'll start collecting with our taxes beginning in July of 2021. And then 1 year later, so in October, November of 2022, the town will get its first distribution. This new committee, the Community Preservation Committee, has been in operation. It was passed with legislation 20 years ago. Coincidentally, Jamie Helen, our current town administrator, his first job was working on the staff to propose this particular legislation.
Wow.
And in one of the pictures that, because I think the 20th anniversary was actually sometime in September. So it was a picture of Governor Cellucci signing the legislation in a park somewhere. Jamie's in the back. He says, I've got that picture on my wall. You don't see me in this view of the picture, but I was there.
Hence the discussion of the five parcels of land and one off of Maple Street, et cetera,
et cetera. Right. So the rest of the committee, by statute, has five regular members. So Conservation Commission, Planning Board, Recreation, and I'm going to struggle with the other two, but there's five specific standing boards. Each of them provide one representative. So committee is going to be nine, five people are defined. There's going to be an application process for the other four. So everybody in Franklin will get a notification sometime, probably January. New board setting up. If you have interest, apply.
Gotcha.
So do an interview process and then bring the five board members and then the four regular citizens to the council. The council will then approve them. This committee will be able to then vet And it's an interesting committee because sometimes committees do things. This committee, what it's going to do, somebody could come up with a proposal. So, Ron, for example, suppose you had a proposal to use a piece of open space for a particular purpose, call it a community garden, just for example. You would pull together whoever you needed to. What's the proposal look like? What's the plans? Do the design, do your fundraising, whatever.
The whole bit, yeah.
Or at least estimates.
Okay.
Bring it to this committee. This committee would then look at it, do the due diligence. So they would do all the questioning. What is it going to do? Who's going to do? How do you do it? Answer all those questions. And then if they approve the money, so conversation's sake, you're asking for $1 million to do this. They may not have all the money. There may be some other pieces, but just for conversation's sake, you're asking for some money. If they approve, then they take that proposal to the town council. Town council, as a legislative body, has the legislation right to administer the funds. And then between the communication, community preservation committee, and then you on behalf of the proposal, would present it to the town council, and theoretically they would approve. So the conversation I was saying this morning was, there's an awful lot of collaboration and coordination amongst the departments anyway today in order to do business. DPW wants to do something to Delcart, they got to talk to the Conservation Commission. So-and-so wants to do something, they got to talk to so-and-so. A lot of that is informal, right? But they still do it. This institutionalizes to a certain extent, because any proposal, and the Community Preservation Committee covers recreation, open space, and housing. Those are the three main arenas. And those are common topics. There's a lot happening in those spaces, or yeah, could be happening as we go, right? So the group is going to have to be, you know, diverse backgrounds, and then have to do that, you know, communications, networking, due diligence, and make people aware of what's going on. So all their meetings are certainly going to be public. The proposal to the town council is certainly going to be public. And town council might have some questions, and maybe they'll bring it back and bring it back again. But that's what the group is designed to do.
It can be for existing open space as well as purchase of new open space.
Or it could be enhancing existing open space to put it to use, or it could be for purchase of new.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. Right. So clearly, I think as part of the discussion, they've referenced five farm type or open space, large tracts of land.
Correct.
If they came onto the market, the town, particularly if it's chapter, I think it's 60 and 61, has a first right of purchase refusal on those. In order for them to be sold, the town has to be able to give them the option first. Because it was farmland, it's been taxed differently because it's farmland, and we would get the first right on it. If we don't have the money to buy it, and real estate is expensive, we don't have, you know, we've got an open space fund, but it doesn't have a whole lot of money in it. So if there's a property that, call it $5 million,
not going to
have the money. Now, one of the benefits of the Community Preservation Act is because we now have, and it's roughly, they're estimating about $1 million, $1.25 million of our tax revenues are going to be generated each year, right? So in the promotions, it came out to the equivalent of, it's a cup of coffee per household per week. So about $2 a week. That accumulates to $1.5 million, thereabouts. Oh. Round numbers.
Okay.
At $1.5 million 1 year, then becomes $3 million, then becomes $4.5 million. You know, in a couple of years, we would have money to do that purchase of $5 million. But one of the benefits is we now, because we've got a guaranteed set of income, we can go to bank and get a mortgage.
Right.
Against that income stream.
Gotcha. Right?
Now, we can't do it today because the income hasn't started.
Hasn't materialized yet.
But once it starts, we'll be able to do that.
But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, so they can start doing their due diligence and planning now, knowing that it's coming later on.
Correct. And that's where, since it just passed in November, Jamie's been proactive, and certainly the rest of the committee that got it together. And as I think in the council, if you do go listen to it, there's a number of councilors that have been talking about this for years.
Okay.
If you do remember in 2007, it did come up for a vote and it lost. I think it was like 4,700 to 3,600, something in that. It didn't lose by a lot, but it did lose.
Okay.
So it came back for a second time and passed substantially. It was 65% of the voters approved that.
Okay.
So it's here. It will take time. So the nine people need to form, the five from the boards, the four public. They need to go through some training. They need to determine their processes. What a proposal review. How are we going to do this? What's going to be the criteria we're going to... So they'll have a good year, year and a half to do that before money start actually comes. Mm. But we all know it takes time to plan. You just don't go, I'm going to do this tomorrow.
Well, yeah, they have to determine how they're going to operate as an entity first.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because so they'll have a standard open meeting protocols. They'll have the three of the nine. They'll elect a chair, a vice chair, and a secretary. All of their meetings then will get coordinated, public notice. There'll be public meetings, I assume via Zoom. What night they'll pick, they'll have to determine that. But yeah, it'll be an interesting process going forward. And the other key benefit from our perspective, right? Everybody's aware, I think, that the town has limited budget of resources.
Right.
Now with this additional set of money, granted, it's not a whole lot. It will accumulate over time, but it's not, you know, the silver dollar. Things that we would need to do, for example, the Old South Meeting House down on Washington Street,
right,
that could be a project. Now those funds, instead of coming from the operating budget, in which case now we would have to decide police, fire, schools, or the meeting house. Now you can use the community preservation funds for that.
Yeah.
Much easier decision.
Yeah, all right. And well, some of the public parks is an example, if you want to expand those to offer more, you know, diverse things or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
That could,
when like I know the, over, when the community, over, yeah, when the community garden came in at King Street Field, yeah, right? One of the concepts then was, okay, we've got one central one, but we also have conservation space effectively almost in all the neighborhoods. Why don't we create a community garden literally in the neighborhood community? The one piece right. that could be a yeah. project is creating the infrastructure. So you've got a lot, maybe it's at the end of a cul-de-sac, create a little sidewalk, you know, which costs money, put some water through there. So DPW has got to do some work, right? All that costs money, but then now you've got a community garden capability in multiple areas. And that's, right. that's just an off the cuff example.
No, it expands what they can do rather than limiting it to strictly new purchases.
Yes. Yes. So you can get open space and then turn it to recreation. You can put open space and just keep it open space and do trails and hikes and things of that sort, you know, non-invasive or passive, I think is another term. Affordable housing. We don't have a whole lot of that. Particularly in the senior center population, try to get into the housing authority bill. There's a what? It's over a 3-year wait for singles and even families. I think it's even longer to get into that. Franklin needs affordable housing. Now, granted, we may not be able to use all of the money, but now we can get into a collaboration space. Developer wants to come in. We can partially, potentially help them do some affordable housing.
I wasn't too sure what it was because... we have a place down in Rhode Island and they have a lot of land trust,
yes,
which is a whole different scenario, but it's correct. Strictly preservation of open space, not necessarily for its use, because most of it is either farmed or just left nature. So I was more familiar with that and I didn't know this is much more expensive than that.
Right. Yeah. And the Metacomet Land Trust is in our area. They've got some trust land. So along where the Pond Street sewer beds used to be, now there's a development of condo, and you've got the Charles River Waterlands. There's also land in there that's Metacomet. They own it. It's mostly wetland. Yeah. Nobody really can do anything with it.
There's no use.
It's also protected. to maintain that status.
Okay. Got it. All right. Thank you very much. No, I listened and I got bits and pieces of it, but it started out and I wasn't too sure because it basically the acronym was used and I went, what the hell does that stand for anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where from a digital news perspective, somebody will send me something and use an acronym. I don't mind reusing the acronym, but yeah, this protocol is you got to spell it out first so that people, because even CPA, that could be a financial accountant, right? It's not Community Preservation Act. There's multiple terms for CPA.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly. That's exactly why we're here. And Joan, this is their first time you heard about this. This is good. Any particular questions about what's going on in Franklin that you have some curiosities around?
Not really. We moved to Franklin 10 years ago.
Okay.
Our children are here.
Yep.
And last year we moved into Forge Park.
Okay.
It's assisted living. So we've been in there for a year now.
Okay.
And my husband passed away last month.
Oh, sorry to hear. Sorry. My condolences.
So I've been busy with him and appointments and this and that. So
yeah, my daughter
is trying to get me to get involved in things.
Mm-hmm. Now that you have some other time, respectfully, you need to keep somewhat busy. Yes.
Yeah. 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 And weekly newspaper,
the Gazette.
Yes, the Gazette. And I'm always telling the kids, I cut it out. This is for you. This is for you. Ah. I have one daughter's a teacher.
Okay.
One of my grandsons is a teacher, and one of my granddaughters works for it's on Pond Street. Is it daycare?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Kinder care, I think.
Beginnings, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. As you come around the curve.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah. So I like to be involved with them. You know, they always.
It's a good thing to get involved with, yes.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Joan, that this is a great source of coming on to this meeting, to Steve's meeting, well, Steve and Ariel, but Steve really fills us in on what's going on with the town, an overview. I don't sit on any committees, but you get a very good overview if you want to know what's going on.
Right.
And I know Ron and his wife from classes at the senior center, so they're old buddies of mine.
I know them.
So welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I recorded a session with Trish, the nurse, yesterday. So that'll be coming out, talking about some of the nursing, you know, the blood pressure, blood screening clinics. And the thing that she's working on, coincidentally, I also recorded this morning with the health director, Kathleen Liberty. And they're coming up with a prescription pantry, they call it. So if you've got a chronic piece and need some assistance in terms of how to better improve your diet, they can give you a prescription. And then you can take that to Farmers Market or Franklin Food Pantry or other organizations. They're still kind of developing, working out the details. So stay tuned for more info. But then you could take that and, I don't know, call it, say you've got with glucose,
diabetes,
right? So now you need to adjust your diet for that. How do you do that? What foods are good for that? They could prescribe that and make it easier. So you don't have to go through the full explanation when you go to the market. You can say, hey, I've got this. What can you do?
Yeah.
So that's coming. That'll be good.
Steve, I have a quick question.
Sure.
Subjects completely, but
no, that's fine. There's lots of subject in Franklin.
I have a couple of grandkids that are in high school.
Okay.
And it's they both do very, very well, but it's been a struggle for them.
Yeah.
Is there any talk about them possibly changing to two cohorts instead of three? Only because literally since the beginning of the year, I think they've had 2.5 days of school actually, because they're in the third cohort.
Right.
And I didn't know if I can go on to the school committee meetings or whether there's any discussion about change there, because it's, again, they do very, very well, but it's a real struggle socially, along with every other town, but not every town has three cohorts. Some of them have two, et cetera. So I didn't know if I'm missing anything or not, if there's any hope that they could be anything less than three cohorts.
It's been heavily discussed. One of the issues is that while we have a brand new high school, the classrooms were built and designed for kind of the new world of classes, et cetera. So they're fairly small, and thereby based upon, and they did look at the 3-foot requirements or 6-foot requirements. With the 6-foot requirements, they really needed to go 3 cohorts. It's a risk, obviously. And currently they've chosen to stay with the 3. From a school committee perspective, it's not off the table, if you will. What they are focusing on right now is on the K in first graders.
I saw that.
Because that, in that case, clearly those kids are still learning to read. So they're not as easily accessible to getting into the technology and following a PowerPoint, doing things. They really need that help, and they really need to be in person. And in some cases, again, even with the kindergarten and first grade, the capacity sizes, it sounds easy, but you can't fit that many kids. I know my wife, 20 years, she taught kindergarten, and she had 20, I think a high of 27. Ideally, there's supposed to be 17, 18 in a classroom. But if you had 18, that's two cohorts. Yeah. Or, okay, do split sessions. Now you require busing for half days, and then you require cleaning in the middle of the day between the sessions. It just gets complicated.
It does.
No easy answers. Everybody recognizes it at least.
Such a hardship, but I mean, my daughter my son-in-law, they, if necessary, they actually have tutors that come to the house to help. My oldest one, he's a senior, so he's got accepted to a couple of colleges. He said, "Okay, I'm done." He said, "But
and he hasn't been able to physically visit so many."
He did prior to that.
Prior to because junior year they tend to do a lot of visits.
Not all of them was he able to. To visit, but anyway, that's an aside. But I'm thinking more of my granddaughter, who's only a sophomore, and she's an avid volleyball player, which has been shut off. And
not shut off, rescheduled.
Well, that's not till February, but
anyway, it's a shift the seasons.
But she's very social, and it's hard, really.
It is. There's no denying that. That's why if you get an email from me, my little signature line is be safe, be social at a distance.
Correct.
Yeah. And it was interesting. My father had a line every time we would get into some, especially around the table, talking about education and hardness, et cetera. And back in his day, and this goes way back, he's now passed 8-9 years. But he was in the World War II, the greatest generation. I think it was his 4th grade teacher, sister, whatever, call her Sister Mary, had just come off the boat from Ireland. And her brogue was so thick. He said, it was like I skipped 4th grade. I have no idea what we covered. And yet, today that would still be an issue. But fortunately, and again, different times, I totally understand that he got through. And I think the real priority, it's hard. And some people are saying the kid's not going to make it. Well, the kids are going to make it if the parents provide the support, because this will pass.
It will. It's a guide.
But heaven forbid we bring somebody in, then somebody dies. That's not going to be good either, right? So as a former risk manager, I'll take with the second or the third cohort and we'll make do. It's not going to be forever.
Yeah, no, I understand. I didn't know if there was any light at the end of the tunnel at all other than...
The biggest light so far is going to be the vaccine. That's coming.
It will.
Hopefully. We'll get there.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly. That's why we do these.
Well, Steve, has the situation with the wire fraud, it sounded like there was some conclusion, and yet it seems like some investigation was still going on.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much the way it stands?
Yeah.
At
this point, let me just rephrase in case somebody's not aware. So there was a spear phishing incident. Effectively, somebody mimicked a vendor email and personality, had a series of correspondence with our treasurer who was paying a bill, and the bill got misdirected. So instead of going the normal process, the person at the last minute said, hey, instead of using this, let's go this way. The misdirection, the person, it turns out, was not really with the vendor. There are some scam artists. So the money went somewhere. That's the investigation part. The money, to the extent they've investigated so far, is still within the U.S. And thereby, there's a chance. Maybe small, but there's a chance. Had it gone internationally, forget it. It's gone. Okay. So a couple of threads. Yes, that piece of the police investigation, and they're working with DHS and FBI and other, financial institution securities to try and find the money. The process, the procedures, have already been revised so that such a change requires dual authorization. She respectfully, the process that was existing, she had the capability of doing that. Granted, people can say, she should have picked up the phone and called. She didn't. Put yourself in the same type shoes. You developed a relationship with people over a series of time. Granted, you hadn't met them, but you were going back and forth about this bill, and all of a sudden then it changes. Oops. Yeah, big oops, understood. So she did get penalized as well. She was suspended for a bit. Her pay got docked. Some of that money is going into the fund where the bill was supposed to be. Procedures have been changed. And we did have two pieces of insurance that covered us. So that was like the total amount was $522,000. So $200,000, $100,000 from each of two buckets helped us recover. There's no financial impact to us as residents immediately. It came out of the water fund, right? So it's all usage based. And by policy, there's $1 million retained in there as an emergency piece. So heaven forbid a water main breaks, somebody's got to repair it. It's an emergency repair. You may not have had a budget for, so you got to have some money to go fix it. So that emergency fund got authorized last night at the town council meeting to make up the difference to pay the bill. Because, oh, by the way, if you've seen along Grove Street near where the SNET Trail parking lot is, this construction, that's a new water treatment plant. So there's two wells, well three and well six, that will be treated by that plant. I think one well is operating at about 10%, 20% capacity. The other well is completely offline because they've got so much iron and manganese. There was a picture from one of the town council meetings. It had a hydrant flow. Bless you. It looked like orange water. It was not water. It was orange something. And that was the water that was coming from the pipe. So we needed the treatment plant. This is going to put the treatment plant in. The two wells will come back online. It won't alleviate. We'll still be in water conservation measures every year because that's just the way our DPA permit is set. But it'll give us more flexibility. It'll add 700,000 gallons a day to our available supply and help us going forward. So
was the a series of wire transfers adding up to 500 and something, or was it one? Oh, holy moly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was one of the other pieces, and I've worked in a lot of the financial companies. Certain levels, you get to do certain things for financial dollars.
Usually requires two signatures.
Anything above 100K was requiring two signatures.
Yeah.
How that one got authorized and got audited, obviously we never had an issue before, but, you know, never is not forever.
Wow.
So that'll be one of the other things that'll change, I'm sure.
When I first heard that, I went, that doesn't say, you know, that's some serious authorization levels, if that's the case. Yeah.
Usually you're pretty high up when you're, well, your authority level goes, you know, it's like a 250 or 500 million, whatever.
Right.
But I thought I understood that there was going to be a taxation to the residents to, no, okay.
No, it won't be required. By design, that emergency fund is already in the water sewer rates. It's in both the water fund and the sewer fund. There's an emergency piece already there.
Okay.
They're making the assumption that at some point in time, they will get, maybe they won't get the other 300,000, but they may get something back. That money will just go back in there. At this point, given the other things that are going on, and coincidentally, because of the pandemic, everybody's using more water. So we're all individually paying more.
Yeah.
That wasn't forecasted. So we're flush with money, so to speak, no pun intended.
That's a high class problem.
That's a high class problem.
Yeah.
So did that help? I know there was multiple things in there, but process changes.
That I remember reading. I don't know why I thought there was going to be an additional taxation from the residents. So that's good to know. I know. Yeah.
In the presentation, Jamie did make the point that if we did need to, if we could equate to, I think he used approximately $30 per user.
Right.
And that may have been misinterpreted that it's going to go up $30. No.
That's how I interpreted it. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, and I think the newspaper may have contributed to that too, because he did mention in another conversation that there was some inaccuracies in the newspaper. So I saw the headline. I didn't read the detail.
I don't usually read all the, you know, finite details in the meetings, if you will. That's why I enjoy listening to you. But I also found it interesting. I did read Jeff Roy's letter.
Yes.
To Councillor Kelly. So apparently it sounded like that there were some facts that were misunderstood.
Yeah, that was totally a different topic. Coincidentally, the same meeting. But he was making some comments, and he mentioned it in the budget subcommittee meeting prior to the town council meeting that evening as well. He had mentioned some comments that he was disappointed with the legislative representation. So effectively Roy, Spilker, and Rausch, that they hadn't delivered sufficient to us. I'm not sure what numbers he was looking at, because based on the numbers that I was looking at, granted, we didn't get the student opportunity funds. That should have given us a little bit more. But to the extent we did get the funding, the significant cuts that we were expecting did not materialize. So I don't know what numbers he was looking at for him to make that comment, but clearly Jeff took exception to that. And
found that interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we should know about Steve?
The other piece that I've been trying to get into as we're getting through the year, I'm going through some stats to say, you know, because I think some of you are aware, I retired last October. October 1 was my first day in this new world, to try and get more involved in town, because Franklin Matters had always been my part-time thing. Now I have full-time almost. Well, I still have family and wife to take care of, et cetera, but... I've got more time to be able to do this, and I'm doing some stats and stuff, and one of the other pieces I wanted to get to is like looking back on the year, what did we do? What are we grateful for? We're grateful for a whole lot considering what has happened. And then start looking into 2021. So yeah, where else was it going with that? You had another question? Where's your question from? I think I went off one way. Oh, what else you should know? Yes. So we talk about Community Preservation Act. We talked about spearfishing. To put a wrapper on the FY21 budget, we're in the budget now. The governor finally signed the state budget. So that cements, at this point, all things holding, there's no significant cuts to services on our point. 2022 is going to start with another budget cycle. They just had a revenue meeting at the state level this week, and there's some wide ranges as to revenue forecast. Given what I've seen, at least here locally, some businesses have closed. So that'll affect some kind of, you know, permitting, license fees, et cetera. I don't see it being very significant. I think we were fortunate. A lot of the things, particularly from a building and real estate prospect, a lot of things were already in motion and they just stayed in motion. One of the other factors we've seen, pandemic related, if you will, there's an increased demand for real estate here in Franklin. As I think you've seen in some of the other places, people are trying to move out of the urban cities to come to the suburbia. We're one of the hotspots. So while we normally have 100, 150 houses on the market, we're down like 10 to 12, which has created increased pressure. When a house comes on the market, there's like a bid the same day that, or multiple bids the same day. And then the highest bidder. So supply, demand, housing prices are increasing, which may make it less affordable over time, but we'll have the added benefit that all that additional revenue provides those CPA funds that we need later. So there's no easy, simple solution, but there's a lot of things that are coming together and playing in that space. So at this point, FY21's okay. 22 is going to be another challenge. The key is going to be, I think, what will the pandemic really do next year? How effective will the vaccines be? Clearly, we're going to be, at least in the mode we have right now, I see, that's my view, at least through June. Granted, people can start getting the vaccines in our population and the elders, unless we got compensating. We're in a February, March timeframe for getting vaccines. But even once we get the vaccine, we're still supposed to be doing the hand washing, wearing the masks, et cetera, et cetera. Because coincidentally, while the vaccine helps us so that we don't get it, we still can be carriers of it. And that's the other reason why we wear the mask. So we prevent the spread as well as prevent catching it from somebody else. So given through June, at least, I would think we're still going to be in kind of pandemic mode, you know, maybe living through cohorts at the high school and hybrids through the rest of the schools. What's that going to do to the rest of the town economy? Some pieces are still going to do well, I think, and some pieces, you know, the arts. You're not going to go to a movie. You're not going to go to a performance unless it's socially distanced or outside, and clearly in the winter weather. It's not going to be outside unless you've got a winter snowball of some sort. It's going to be a challenge. So that'll be interesting to look at. One of the other financial discussions coming up to be aware of, stormwater. There will be potentially a stormwater utility fee. So we already have a water sewer fee, trash recycling fee. There'll be a third fee, stormwater utility. Don't know exactly what the fee will be at this point, but all the rain runoff, there's always been, at least the last 10 years, the town has been doing a lot of things to help contain the water and treat it before it runs off, either into Mine Brook and then into the Charles, which is really where the EPA acted and then is forcing this action upon us. But conceptually, it makes sense. So around the town, you've seen kind of the rain gardens in front of like Parmenter, at the parks, senior center, when they added the expanded the parking, they put kind of the rain gardens and the planting around so that the water can now seep into the ground, retain there. Actually, underneath one of the expansion pieces, they put in a rainwater catch basin system. So the water goes into the parking lot, goes underground, and they've got huge plastic piping that will hold the water and then allow it gradually to seep into the ground, as opposed to running off into the storm drain into Mine Brook and then into the Charles. All of that costs something. So we need to do more to control that. There are incentives. So there may be some grants or exemptions. You can get a discount on the rate if you have a rain barrel. You can get a discount on the rate. So instead of having repaving your driveway with blacktop, if you put in a particular type of, you know, like stone paving so that the water can go through it as opposed to just running off. Exactly what those details are, we'll start finding out in January. And then council will have to vote. It had been proposed for implementation in July 2021. Hasn't effectively happened yet. So that's something to be aware of as it comes. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a big fee. I think it might be like $80 per household or something like that, but stay tuned.
Speaking of income for the town, who set the subject of personal property? In other words, who sets the valuation for cars? I mean, I know what ours is, and you know, it's a high-class problem, but they value the cars, the value of the cars, much less than what they're actually worth.
In some cases, yeah. And I believe that comes, and I'd have to double check, but I believe that comes from the state level.
It does, okay.
Yeah.
So they're not, it's not established by the town, or there's no variability then.
No. It's we set. Do the issuing of the excise taxes and collect that. That's part of our revenue. But right. The actual rate table, I believe it is set at the RMV.
Okay. All right. Good. It's not necessarily valid in terms of what the car is worth.
And I think it'll vary depending upon the nature of the car and age.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Steve, did I read that they established a new tax rate for the town?
Yes. Yep. The tax rate was set. And from a budget cycle, that's the last action to complete a budget cycle. So they estimate revenue. They build the budget in terms of living within the revenue stream. The assessed value, so our valuations of all our individual property, the commercial property, the Board of Assessors, that's what they do on a regular basis. There's a, I think it's every 3 years or every 5 years, everybody's house gets reevaluated on some kind of a flowing schedule. So not everybody's getting revalued at once from a workload perspective. So they determine the tax revenue based upon the last tax levy. They add the 2.5%. Yep, town council always authorizes the 2.5%. That gives us a little bit of growth to account for cost of living, et cetera. And then there's new growth. So as the valuations increase, there's some extra valuations there. As that valuation increases, then the tax monies that we've budgeted for, you've got the nominator and denominator. It's a simple math factor. As long as the denominator gets smaller, the rate will be higher. When the denominator gets higher, the rate will be smaller, right? So yeah, the tax rate went up, I think it was 14 cents over the prior year. The prior year was a 1 cent increase over the year before that. Some of that increase was purely in the valuations, but also based upon some of the lost revenue that we've seen some of the early pandemic stuff. So I'm working on kind of a simplification. The Board of Assessors, with all due respect, they've got a whole lot of details. It's a rather complicated thing that they do. But bottom line, you get tax revenue, assessed valuation, you divide the two, and that comes out with a percent.
What does that translate into to per thousand? I mean, you said the increase will be 14.
Yeah, so it was, I think it's 0.1465.
Something like that,
cents per thousand. Then it would equate, I think offhand, it was something, what, four something per, on a $400,000 household.
Okay. I don't remember what the number was per thousand prior to that.
Last year, it would have been 1451 because it was a 14 cent increase. So it went to 1465 from 1451.
Okay.
And I've got a chart that I think I've shared before, and I'm updating it for the new one, that shows that relationship. As the valuations increase, the tax rate goes down. And as the valuations decrease, the tax rate goes up. So you can look at, for example, in 2008, the start of the Great Recession, the valuations decreased. So the next 4 years, that tax rate went the other way. And then as the, you know, 5-6 years later, we started coming out of the Great Recession. As we're increasing the valuations, the tax rates are decreasing or increasing smaller pieces. But it's
does it on our tax bills, it tells us the actual rate, if I'm not mistaken.
It does. Yes.
And the valuation.
Yep. And your assessed value. Because that's one of the things that in terms of like the car's assessed value, certainly you can challenge the assessed value of your house and talk to the Board of Assessors and say, my house is assessed at, call it 420. I bought it at, I don't know, 300 or whatever. Where does this increase come from? And then they can go through the documentation, market usage, similar house, similar features, what's the market valuations, and then by justify or readjust your valuation. But that's what they do. One of the first meetings I went to when I was retired was I was finally able to attend a Board of Assessors meeting because they're on Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock. So I'm going to go there. So I went, there was a 15-20 minute public portion, and the rest of the meeting was executive session where they were discussing all the assessed valuations and challenges, et cetera. I like what you do. I don't think I'm going to come back because all this time for 20 minutes of a public meeting, with all due respect, I got other things I can do. But they do serious business. And we do see them at least once a year. So somewhat of a winded answer, but the tax rate was set. Yes.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure. Okay. But you explained it. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Yeah. And there's more coming because I know even my conversations with Jamie Helen, he's acknowledged that there's still confusion around the relationship. And it's not somebody just, you know, walks up to a dot board and says, you know, let's have a rate. No, there's significant math. Board of Assessors does their piece. Town does their piece through the budgets. That's where all those budget hearings and budgets committee meetings between school, town, et cetera, they come together and we end up with, and that's our prioritization list. That, you know, we can talk a lot about what we want to do, but until we actually put the money in order to enable us to do so, yeah, it doesn't happen.
Many towns hire outside consultants to go around literally house to house, checking valuation, stuff like that. We don't do that, do we? Or do we?
I believe they do use outside assistance from time to time. Yes. Yep. Okay. All
right. What is it? Every 10 years they're supposed to do that?
I think they changed it. It's more frequent than 10 years.
Oh, wow.
It's either 5 or 3, but still on a, you know, they don't take everybody every 10 years. It's they do a section at a time. Otherwise, it'd be just so much work they couldn't do it all.
Yeah. I remember, I think you had to call, make an appointment or something the last time I had somebody coming in.
Yeah, because generally they want to get into inside the house as well. Clearly they can assess the outside, but are there any interior changes that have been made that may affect the value? have you upgraded, you know, the kitchen, the bathrooms, things of that sort. Yep.
All of a sudden you finished your basement without a building permit.
Oops.
Oops, sorry. Whoops.
Yeah, so one of the other things that at least to be aware of, the town certainly, and Jamie and I were talking about it, I think you heard that some of it this morning, Ron, but when Jamie Helen first came in and he was working for Jeff Nutting at the time, he had a meeting with me and he was, you know, he wanted to do a whole lot of things in terms of improving the town website, improving the town communications, and he was fearful of putting me out of a job. And I said, don't worry about that. I'm looking for you to do what you need to do. Post electronically, post the meetings, make the information shareable, make it easy for people to get there. They have done great strides, made great strides in improving the website. They've also got now a person, Anne Marie Tracy, who between schools and towns spends time to market and communicate with the town. Perfect. I'm not out of work by any means. I can do some of the other analysis that I never had time to do. I can do the interviews that I never had time to do. So something like this, I couldn't have done it. Couldn't have done it before. Talking, I've had, I think it's between 20 and 30 sessions with Jamie. That's amazing. I appreciate his time and effort. And Anne Marie's generally been part of those to share the info that's happening. And we try to do that, not so much to get into the little details, but the philosophical approach, you know, the rationale, some of the discussions that we have here, the reason behind, what is the tax rate? Well, it comes from, right? It's not just the number. It's like, what's the story behind it? Where are we going? Why are we doing this? Right. I prefer that long form because that's the kind of info that I as a citizen always wanted. And I think you are validating that you're still needing and looking for. There's still work to be done. And while I think of it, if you haven't heard, there's a Think Franklin gift card. Right. So you can buy it in two places. You can go to, if you pay cash, Dean Bank, Main Bank down Main Street, or you can go online and then it's got a growing list. I think it was 35 or almost 40 businesses in Franklin that they accept it. So if you wanted to give a gift to somebody and have the money stay in Franklin, whether La Cantina, the Rome, any number of places, actually it's even used, I think, at the Senior Center, the Historical Museum. That's a cool idea. And then just the idea itself, it's nicely branded. Think Franklin first. To buy local, shop local.
And you don't have to worry about it expiring. You know,
don't have to worry about it expiring.
Going out of business.
That's a good thing.
You can add money to it over time, right? So I think Anne Marie, in the conversation we had, she has one, she keeps it in her pocket, and she's worried that her son and daughter will want it and then start using it. So she'll have to replenish it more frequently. But that'll be a good thing too, right? So, yeah.
All of a sudden, it appears at Max Roast Beef.
Yes, yeah. All of a sudden. Yeah. Yep. Oh, I'm not sure they're on the list yet. I have to check.
That's an important feature that you mentioned, Ariel, that it has no expiration date, especially with the restaurants now being.
Right. You never know how long they're going to be in business. Yeah.
Right.
We were actually looking into the Senior Center and some of our giveaways we do. We give away gift cards. And as a way to keep everything in Franklin, Aaron was going to talk to Jamie and hope that we'd be allowed to purchase those to keep the money in Franklin. So
yes,
waiting to hear back. Hopefully that works.
Yeah. Ideally, it should. And I'll give credit to those who are listening. Dean Bank, Random Smile is doing the administration. Mm-hmm. And then there were some other sponsors. So anytime you do a transaction, there's a transaction fee. Mm-hmm. Those transactions fees are covered by Dean and other generous donors, sponsors. Wow. So we may still have the transaction fee if you buy it online. You don't have a transaction fee if you pay cash for it. but then the vendor. So whether you go to the Rome, La Cantina, I'm drawing a blank at other places that is somewhat embarrassing, but there's the list of 35 or 40. When you go there, they get the full dollar. They don't have the service fee that they lose when you spend the $30, $40, $20, whatever it is there.
That's a great way to continue to give back too.
Yes. Yes.
That's nice. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. That's one of the hidden features and one of the other pieces that Anne Marie's been careful to say. This is not town money. Mm-hmm. The town does not handle the money, doesn't touch it. Random Smile does that administration from their processing. Dean Bank obviously will do the dollar sale cash basis, but their website is available. So you can buy it online or and send somebody either a, have them mail the card, or you can send them kind of a PDF a la an Amazon Smile type thing. Mm-hmm. And they can use it for purchase online as well.
Nice.
It's something that clearly got timed for kind of the holiday giving season, but it'll be something that'll be able to be used all year, really.
Where's the list of vendors for people to look up to see where they can use the card?
Actually, on the website itself. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I can try it. I think it's Think Franklin First card or something like that. Even on the...
what's that?
Okay, Think Franklin First, gift card, yeah. Sponsors, nope. We want participating businesses, yeah. So let me share screen. I just found it. And find that. So yeah, okay. franklingiftcard.com is the website. And then the participating businesses, and this list will change over time. There's a pretty good list. So Rhapsody, Rainbow Eye, Pretty as Pink. There's a variety of places there. FSPA. So if you did one of their virtual performances, you could use it at the Black Box. That's interesting. Way to keep money in Franklin. Alumni restaurant, Acapulco's, 67 Degrees Brewery. Mm-hmm. Pretty good list. And I know Anne-Marie's been expanding that list as well. That's one of the key benefits that I think, and we've talked about it in one of my conversations with Jamie. From my perspective, this is one of the good things that the town, in its unique role to foster business, they're in a collaboration center. Mm-hmm. They've brought the nonprofit Random Smile together to do the processing, Dean Bank to do the sale, and then coordinate with the businesses. They all have a relationship because in some cases the businesses have to go to the town for a permit, whatever, whatever. So they've got that relationship and everybody's in it together. So we can think Franklin first, shop local, shop Franklin. It's a win-win.
Yeah. There's Ron.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's very exciting. That's nice. That was nice to see. And I like that there's so many participating businesses as well. So a great option to give a gift.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yep.
I'm going to take off. Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you for participating and thanks for your questions.
Thank you. It was wonderful. All right. Thank Have a great you. Holiday if we don't see you again. All right. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Take care.
Ariel, do I need to continue to like respond to get the link or will you automatically send it?
You're automatically on the list.
Perfect.
So anybody that's attended or requested to attend Talk Franklin Matters automatically gets the email. So Joan, I don't have your email, but I have, I believe your daughter Chrissy's. So I'll send her the email and she'll send it to you. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? All right, yes, perfect.
And then the other alternative, I think, Ariel, you put it in the weekly email blast.
Yes.
Which, so if you get an email, you're in on that. I also share it on Franklin Matters. So you could also go to Franklin Matters and find the link there. Yep. As well as, I believe it's also posted on the town calendar page.
It is, the Zoom link is not. In order to receive the Zoom link, you have to actually.
But at least the schedule is there.
Yeah. The schedule is there. It's on the town calendar. It's on the Franklin Senior Center calendar. It's in my email blast, and it's in the newsletter that goes out monthly, the paper copy.
Yep. All ways to spread.
Yes, exactly.
And then word of mouth. Hey, I heard about, did you go? Why not?
I know. And everybody bring a friend next time. That would be great.
I'm going to try to.
Because
I talk about it all the time. It's very helpful to me.
We appreciate that. We try to be helpful. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.